We're talking with Brady Sidwell. Brady, let's talk a little bit about this mountain of data that we've gotten today from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We've got WASDE. We've got a multitude of reports from the National Ag Statistics Service. As you've kind of looked over all of this stuff in the last few minutes, what is kind of jumping out at you right now?
Yeah, well, Ron, I mean, it's definitely kind of a fire hose of data. And you know, I think kind of the headline is there's plenty of everything. You know, we had a few revisions down. I mean, you know, the market's not really reacting that much based on, you know, how much information the market did not have after the government shutdown and the January 11th reports of, you know, were delayed. I mean, I guess the big numbers that kind of came out here were corn yield numbers that were below even the expectations. And, of course, we saw the November number at 178.9, in December, 178.9, and they came in at 176.4. So that was 2.5, you know, bushels per acre below December estimates, and then, you know, over a bushel lower than the average estimate. So we were thinking that was going to kind of pop this market up, and I think there was a lot of expectation that corn yield numbers were going to be lower. I guess the issue is really coming out of Brazil and Argentina, they increased supply. So that did, you know, despite some reductions in the U.S. U.S. ending stocks that should have been supportive of the corn market, we saw global stocks increasing. You know, kind of the same thing with the beans. Yield numbers 51.6 came in basically at expectations, even though it was below the December numbers. And, you know, as we know in beans, it's still kind of plenty of everything. I mean, even though U.S. ending stocks were down and world ending stocks were a little bit lower with that revised down in the Brazil crop to 117 million metric tons, it was basically right at the market's expectation. And so, you know, when we get numbers coming in and they're basically at the expectation, markets don't react too much. You know, the USDA decreased the China import estimates on beans down to 88. So that was just 2 million tons. And that was kind of a surprise that it's not going to be a little bit lower than that. So we're still thinking that could be a little bit overestimated.
Overall, you know, when you start talking about these row crop, nothing really that just sticks out at you, in other words, bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, adequate supplies, I guess. I mean, I'm surprised that this corn market's not kind of moving a little bit more. I do think it's also taken the trade a little bit of time to digest all these numbers. Like we were talking about, I mean, it's, you know, the market's been anticipating and we've, you know, looking at the charts, I mean, we've been trading in a pretty tight range here over the last several months, and it's got even tighter here in anticipation of these reports. And so, you know, I think some of the surprises, for instance, in corn was seeing the South America increases. I expected this market to trade a little bit more on the bull side with the low end, you know, corn coming in at the low end of expectations. We also reduced acres 100,000. But I guess at the end of the day, you know, stocks to use ratio globally went from 27.3% to 27.4%. So in the U.S., they were a little bit lower, but just by a tenth. And so that tells us, based on demand and supply, that, you know, we're pretty adequate. I think that the decline in ethanol as well as feed usage for the corn market was also kind of countering those lower yield numbers. And so just, you know, nothing that was too far out of the range, I guess. And it's kind of the same with beans. You know, we still questionable about demand. I mean, this market's been a little bit elevated here based on, you know, South America issues. And then we're waiting for China to eventually come in and buy some, you know, buy some beans on a meaningful scale. Of course, we've had these two lots of kind of 10, you know, 5 million tons each for a total of 10 million. But I mean, that pales in comparison to where we should be at this point. And we've got our U.S. delegation going over to China, of course, next week. With China basically offered Chinese New Year, and so we'll see if anything comes of that. But, you know, Ron, just watching all these meetings that we've had with the Chinese coming to Washington and our team going to Beijing, there's just not a lot of, you know, deal making that seems to be material. And, you know, after the news out of the White House yesterday that Trump and Xi are probably not going to meet before that March 1st deadline, March 2nd implementation of additional tariffs, I think it has this market nervous to trade too much on this report.
I guess the hope is that they maybe will back off that tariff implementation for by at least a few weeks or something to give them time to work all these details out.
Yeah, and I suspect that'll be a conclusion that we'll see next week, even though we may not get a deal by that time. I think that they will postpone that that implementation of additional tariffs to be able to, you know, to be able to give themselves more time. I do think the Trump administration, just with the political environment here in the U.S. and obviously looking at the 2020 campaign, I think they are keen to be able to make a deal without giving up a lot of ground. And, you know, obviously we're hoping ag commodities will be a benefactor of that. I mean, we've definitely kind of taken it on the nose here up to now. But I do think if China can come out and make a purchase, a meaningful purchase, not 5 million metric tons at a time, and then just kind of slowly fill those orders, that would help, you know, get this market moving, I mean, across the board. You know, we haven't talked much about the wheat market, but definitely everybody's kind of watching that as we've bounced on, you know, some of the recent lows here again this week. And we've been doing a lot of trading kind of before this report, guys actually taking advantage of deep in the money put options that they have, and also getting on the long side of the market. I think there's a lot of potential there. I mean, China was even a buyer here a couple weeks ago. Of U.S. wheat, and of course, you know, the whole Russian-Ukraine Black Sea region, you know, running out of export supplies. That's kind of been what we've all been waiting for. But here in this report, USDA raised wheat production in Russia as well as their exports to 37 million metric tons. So I think the next meeting with the Russian Ag Ministry and the trade is going to be on February 11th, and so we'll see if anything comes out of that. But it's kind of the same story there. We've got adequate supplies. You know, they reduced feed and demand here in the U.S. and, you know, stocks to use ratios are now at 47, over nearly 48%, and globally just reduced a little bit, down just below 36%. But, you know, not a lot of change there. Winter wheat acres, of course, we were expecting those to be lower than last year, and they were. In fact, they came in, I would say, at the lower end of the expectations. In fact, below the low end of the expectations at 31.3 million acres. But again, it's just they kind of left yield numbers the same. Exports also, they kept the same, which questionable, but we'll see what this Egyptian tender comes in today, and perhaps that'll get that market going. We've had a strong U.S. dollar here over the last 6 days, just been up and up, and I think today it's kind of peaking higher as well, though it was a little bit lower this morning. And that's the thing, we need the dollar to cooperate with us, especially on the wheat market, and hopefully we'll get some tightening supplies eventually materialize here out of Russia and Ukraine, and then we'll be able to get this U.S. export trade on again.
I guess what the confirmation is, as far as our wheat crop here in the Southern Plains, between Kansas and Oklahoma, another 700,000 acres smaller planted compared to a year ago. These guys just continue to look at other options, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. Like I say, we've been talking, I think it was back in August, September, that Russia and Ukraine were maybe not going to run out of wheat, but they were well ahead of the pace that they were exporting in years prior to that, and they had a smaller crop. And so the thought was that by the end of the year, or say by February, which we're just now getting underway, that they would run out of wheat. And, you know, we've heard talk this week as well of that potentially being the case, and that milling quality supply exports out of the Ukraine, you know, we're definitely running short. But the thing is, it's just yet to be seen. I mean, that's been a concern that we've been trying to trade here for months. And I guess, you know, when they come out and say that the production or exports are going to continue at the pace that they have, and of course they slowed down here in the last half of 2018, but they've still been heavy. And then now we have the USDA kind of confirming that in these reports. That's the news of the hour, unfortunately. So, you know, we're kind of trading these lows. I mean, I still think, even though today we're not getting a move in the wheat market, that if we can get a weaker dollar and some of those fundamentals to change, that this report could be looked back on as bullish from an acre perspective, at least in the U.S.
Finally, you know, when you start looking at the back to those row crops, especially the Midwest corn and bean situation, any clues as to how this thing may break them as far as final acres goes based on some of these numbers of today?
Well, I'll tell you, I think, you know, it's going to depend. I mean, as guys are making their final crop decisions this year of growing corn or beans, and I mean, a lot of those are already made, and guys are in a rotation and they stick with it. But, you know, I think the these meetings here over the next couple of weeks and see what we can get this bean market to do. You know, the November beans, we've already been going out and getting some orders in above the market on November 19 beans. But kind of the recent highs here have been about that 970 level. So if we, you know, can't kind of pop above that and break out a little bit, I'm not sure that that's going to be the most attractive. But, you know, corn, I would say, is also not, you know, not anything to write home about, and maybe not just an obvious choice. I think I'm more bullish on the corn market than I am on the bean market, especially with these yield numbers. But, you know, we're, like I say, we've seemed to have plenty of everything, and the increases in South America. I think one of the key things here, that if we could just see this U.S. demand for both on the feed side, I mean, with, you know, cattle on feed reports, we're not sure where this last one's going to come in, but we got a lot of cattle on feed, but, you know, those numbers were reduced. Hopefully we can get this summer ethanol plan that President Trump has going, you know, with E15, and get the ethanol market moving a little bit on the demand side. I think that could be a swing factor as we kind of come over to the next few months here. The problem is, Ron, you know, oil's come off quite a bit, as we know, and so there's just not as attractive of a margin to be able to blend. So, like I say, we're going to have to see. But if I had to pick, you know, corn or beans that I'm most bullish on, I think corn probably has a better opportunity, just given where we are on stocks to use ratio below 12%. And of course, the big wild card here is if China is going to come in and buy. China's not a big buyer of corn, not from the U.S., not anywhere. And if they stepped in and decided to make a purchase here, like we've, you know, has been rumored, but we haven't seen that really in action. If they came in and made a purchase, even not very significant, of U.S. corn, I think we could see that really set this market off. And so, you know, we've been telling our clients and producers, go ahead and go out there. If you're planting milo, of course, corn futures are the proxy, and go ahead and go out to that December contract and take a look at it. And, you know, if we get a move here in the market, I definitely think that there's going to be time here probably over the next several weeks to be able to start marketing your crop for 19.
Thanks, Brady. Brady Sidwell with Sidwell Strategies. We remind you, futures and options trading involve the risk of loss and may not be suitable for all investors. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.